Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to gather together and worship you. I thank you for the privilege to open God's Word this Sunday and, Lord willing, next Sunday and look at your will and way. Thank you for all who are leading, volunteering in ministry to us today. Thank you that we have the opportunity to at the end of the service to receive communion, unite us, Jesus, further with you. Thank you that the Rocky Mountain team has made it safely to Estes Park. Holy Spirit, please move and work and stir in the hearts and the minds and lives of all who are a part of Rocky Mountain High. Speak to and through the main speaker, Drew Wersheim and the worship team. Guide the group discussions as they conclude each day. Thank you for the adults that could attend, Abby Bogards and Jamie Owens and Pastor Josh. Lord, hear our prayers for healing, strength, recovery. We're mindful of Randy and Chris Dromley. Thanks that Randy is home. Holy Spirit, comfort Deb Quintero and family. Holy Spirit, grant to them peace and Jesus a sense that you are always near. Continue to bring healing those who stand in need of your healing presence. We think of Paula Stockton. We think of others who stand in need of physical healing, but also mental and emotional healing. Or it might be relational healing that they long for, or spiritual healing, a sense that you are near and you are caring and you are watching over. Jesus, please draw our family members and friends close to yourself. May our family members and friends come to a personal, intimate, forgiven Jesus walk with you. And now, as we study God's Word, thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading the authors to put these words into print. Now, please imprint them on our minds and hearts. And Holy Spirit, empower us to be obedient as your faithful, growing servants. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's will. How do you determine God's will? Or if you're in a group, how does your group learn and seek to be obedient to God's will? Or how do we as Westview Church determine and discover and be obedient to the will of God? It's important that we examine this question. The tendency, I'm concerned, is that we see the world from only our perspective. And if we see the world from only our perspective, we can lean towards being very self-efficient, very self-reliant, even narcissistic. If we think that the world revolves around us, what I see and what I feel is all important. What I prefer is my will and my way, and get out of the way. We're going forward with my will. But in contrast, we discover from God's word that God has a will for you and me. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And only as we in Jesus discover that will and are obedient to it, will you and I experience life to the fullest. Only as we seek to live out God's will for our lives will we experience the abundant life God intends for us. So, this week we want to look at desiring God's will, and Roman numeral 2, discovering God's will. And then, the Lord willing, next week we want to look at discerning God's will, God's specific will for you and for me, and it can be very different. For example, it is God's will that I be leading in the study of God's word this morning, but it is it's God's will for all of us that we be taking it in, and we're mindful, and we're reflecting, and we're asking, Holy Spirit, empower me to be obedient. Empower me to do your will. So this morning we'll look at desiring God's will and discovering God's universal will that is for all believers. And then next week we'll look at, the Lord willing, discerning God's specific will that can be very different for you versus for me. And then finally, fourthly, we'll look at doing God's will. But Roman numeral 1, desiring God's will. If you turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians 1, we'll be reading verses 4 through 10. And in this passage, we see a couple of times the words, God's will. It is God's will. And then we'll go back and look at desiring God's will from verse 5 and also verse 9. But hear, please, the word of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, 4 to 10. And I usually remember the short epistles by A-E-I-O. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Or as a sixth grader once said after I had said that one Wednesday night, they said, oh, we remember it. Go eat Popcorn Carl. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Hear, please, the word of the Lord. Ephesians 1, 4 to 10. For God chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, God predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. Here we have it, God's will. Verse 6. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Jesus, in Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that God lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Here ends the reading of God's holy and His inspired word. Amen. In desiring God's will, the Bible teaches us that God is the center of all things. All things revolve around Him. The world revolves around Him. The Bible teaches us that God is an intelligent creator, but He's also the ultimate judge. To say it differently, He is the one from whom we are created, by whom you and I exist, he is the one to whom we will ultimately answer. To say it differently, God is the beginning and the end, and he is everything in between. God has a plan. And we maybe look back 4,000 years and 2,000 years and 1,000 years and maybe kind of understand God's plan and his purposes and his will, but it's more difficult for us to determine his will for us today. Desiring God's will. First of all, it comes with understanding that God has a will, he has a plan, and all things are moving in accordance with his purpose. Verse 5 again of Ephesians 1. God predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And reading again verse 9, the first part of the verse, and God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. Part of God's plan is that when Adam and Eve fell from the sin and they were driven out of the garden, that God established a sacrificial lamb system by which individuals and or families could know the forgiveness of God. Individuals or families could bring the sacrificial lamb to the synagogue or to the temple, and it would shed its blood as the family confessed their sin and guilt and shame to the Lord. The sacrificial lamb would shed its blood. It would take on their pain, their punishment. And as the sacrificial lamb died, shed its blood, gave its life, and people wholeheartedly said, God forgive, because of the sacrifice of this lamb, God would send them forth forgiven and cleansed and his righteous people. Now, we understand that nearly 2,000 years ago, I trust, we understand that Jesus is the sacrificial lamb of God. And just as in the Old Testament, the lamb had to shed its blood, the lamb had to give its life as people asked God to forgive, Jesus is the sacrificial lamb of God. And therefore, as you and I trust in Jesus' work on the cross, in his death, in his resurrection, as we wholeheartedly say, God, please be good enough to have a plan, because I'm not good enough to earn salvation. I can't buy salvation. I can't give my way into heaven. I can't. God, please be good enough to have a plan by which I can be forgiven. I can have the gift of eternal life. I can spend eternity in heaven. And so in Jesus, as we trust in his grace and mercy, as we trust in him and dump our sin in a garbage bag at the foot of the cross and say, God, please forgive. Jesus, shed your blood on my sin and guilt and shame. God forgives. We're saved from our sin and guilt and shame. We're sanctified. We're glorified in the moment of death. We will be with God for all of eternity. And when Jesus comes again, we will be resurrected and made like him forever in heaven above. God has a plan. He's got a purpose. He has a will. And sometimes it's in contrast to Carl's will, to our will. But God has a plan, he has a purpose, and for you and for me to live the abundant life, the purpose-filled life, it's finding forgiveness in Jesus and discovering in the Holy Spirit our gifts and serve the Lord with those Holy Spirit gifts and skills and abilities. Not only that, but in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, It says that God's plan is good. God's plan is good. So if we could go a couple of verses. God's will is good. Romans 12:2. There we got it. Romans 12:2 says three things about God's will. And if you turn back a few pages to Romans 12, verse 2, the last part of the verse says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. And note the three words that are used to describe God's will. It is good, it is pleasing to the Lord, and it is perfect. It is good, it is pleasing, and it is purpose. It is perfect. I am concerned that many don't seek the will of God as we go through each day and each week because we're not aware that God's got a plan, and ultimately and finally, if we're going to live the abundant, purpose-filled life, it's in Jesus. Or we conclude that God's will, we disagree with it. And somehow God's will for Carl's life, God's will for our life is miserable. It's not good. It's boring. It's bad. But it is grossly inconsistent to say God is good and to sing how great is our God and God, how good is our God. But his plan somehow for me and for us is bad. Desiring God's will. Understanding that the purpose-filled life, the abundant life for me, for you, is desiring God's will, and then Roman numeral 2, discovering God's will. And we're going to look at Roman numeral 2, God's universal will for all believers. So the passages, we'll look at five passages. The passages we're going to read today is God's universal will for all believers. Now, next Sunday, we'll look at discerning God's will for me, for you, that can be very different. God's will for me, I think, is shift into retirement. That might not be God's will for you. Could be very different, 40 or 50 hours at work. Now I understand, family week, or as the students usually call it, dead week. And there's no gym, there's no volleyball, there's no football, there's no... But so God's will can be very different for me, for you. I'll be preparing next Sunday's message, but families could be on vacation because it's the one time where all the kids are free and available. It's dead week, or it's family week. So next week we'll look at discovering God's specific will for Carl, God's specific will for you. But this morning, Roman numeral number 2, we'll look at discovering God's universal will for every Christian, for all believers around the world. If you turn with me, please, back in your Bibles to John 6, 39 and 40. John 6, 39 and 40. It is God's universal will for all believers that we are assured of our salvation. John 6, 39 and 40. It is God's universal will that all believers know they are secure in Jesus. John chapter 6, 39 and 40. And this is the will of God, or Jesus is speaking, this is the will of him who sent me. Now, what is God's will? That Jesus is speaking, I shall lose none of all that God has given me, but raise them up at the last day. And again, he repeats it in 40. It is my Father's will, it is God's will, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. and I will raise him up at the last day. It is God's universal will that all who from the depths of their hearts said, God, please forgive me, from the depths of their being said, Jesus, I trust in your saving work on that cross as you lay dead in the tomb and as you resurrected from the dead, I trust in you with my life, with my death, with my eternity. It is God's will that all believers know they are secure in Jesus Christ. And it is on that basis that I dare serve you communion, or the elder teams serve you communion. Or it is on that basis that we who trust in Jesus, ask God to forgive us, we are invited to the table and partake of the bread and the juice, knowing we are secure in Jesus Christ. Secondly, it is God's will that you and I are growing and maturing in Christ. Secondly, it is God's will that we grow and mature in Christ. If you turn to your right to 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-8. 1 Thessalonians 3-8. Not only is it God's will that I know that I'm secure in Jesus, but it is God's will that all believers around the world grow and mature in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-8. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, growing in Christ's likeness, in other words, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives us his Holy Spirit. Number one, it is God's universal will that all of us as believers are assured of our salvation. Secondly, that we grow and mature in Christ. Thirdly, that we develop a thankful attitude. We're grateful. We're appreciative. We're generous with what God has given us. Now, in my Bible, it's just across the page to 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. And in verse 18, in the middle of the verse, it says, "This is God's will for you." So let's back up to verse 16 and 17 and see what it's there for. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks. And note that it says in all circumstances. It does not say for all circumstances. But in the midst of the difficulty or the suffering or the struggle that we have in Jesus, we know our salvation is secure. Our eternity in heaven is all wrapped up. In the midst of no matter what we are suffering or struggling with, the passage says, give thanks to God in all circumstances. So, we're invited to gather as believers with a smile on our face and joy in our countenance. And to make sure that I remembered this, I put this little sign right here. Carl, God has given Carl every reason to be grateful and joyful, and have a smile on his face and a skip in his step and joy in his countenance. God has been good. He has. So, Carl, put a smile on your face. Be positive, be affirming, be uplifting. Be happy when you can gather in your personal devotions, family devotions, or you can gather in worship. Have joy in worship. There should be a smile on your face as you come to Westview Church, and there should be a smile on your face as you walk out to your vehicle and go home. To say it negatively, if I'm crabby, if I'm grouchy, if I'm negative, if I'm critical, if I am a bear to live with, I'm not in God's will. I am not in God's will. Verse 16, 17, and 18 again in 1 Thessalonians 5, Carl, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in the midst of your circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Fourthly, it is God's will that you and I influence or have an impact on our society for Jesus. If you turn near the end of your Bibles to 1 Peter 2, 13 to 17. 1 Peter 2, 13 to 17. First Peter 2, near the end of your Bibles, verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will. There we have it. It is God's will for every believer. Carl, it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as a free person, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Because Carl's salvation is all wrapped up in Jesus, and I see him, and I see myself in the hollow of his hand, and the old devil just can't pry his fingers back, my salvation is secure in Jesus. So, friends, my sin with its past is forgiven. Present sin are forgiven. Future sin will be forgiven. My eternity in heaven is all wrapped up in Jesus. So there's a whole lot of things I don't have to do. I don't have to worship. I don't have to fellowship. I don't have to pray. I don't have to be a part of the men's Bible study and prayer group. I don't have to be a greeter at door number one. I don't have to come alongside people and pray with them and encourage them and allow them to leave feeling like $1 million that somebody cares and somebody supported. There's a whole lot of things I don't have to do. I don't have to volunteer at Waypoint Ministries, the food pantry down the basement. I don't have to wave at a neighbor. I don't have to talk and coming and going in the mail, getting the mail or coming back. Talk to a neighbor and allow them to feel like $1 million. I don't have to pray for an individual that just lost a parent in their driveway. I don't have to pray for another neighbor that just lost his brother with heart condition. I don't have to do any of that. I get to do all of that. I get to preach. I get to worship. I get to fellowship. I get to come alongside people and pray. I get to bless. I get to encourage. I get to be greeter at door number one. I get to serve people. Bring their groceries out to their vehicle, volunteering for the food pantry. I get to be a part of the men's group. Amy and I get to tithe. Why? Because our hearts are filled with joy and appreciation and gratitude for the gift Jesus has given to us, for the gift of God's forgiveness. I could never buy, I could never earn, I don't have enough money, I could not good works my way into heaven. In sheer gratitude and appreciation, I get to do these things. In thanksgiving and generous spirit and a servant-hearted attitude for all that the Lord has done for me. And then, number one, it is God's universal will we're assured of salvation. It is God's universal will we're all growing and maturing in Christ. It is God's will that you and I develop a thankful, servant-hearted, grateful, generous attitude. It is God's will for Carl and all believers that we impact our society for Christ. And fifthly and finally, it might be God's will for you and me to suffer or go through difficulty or face struggle. In 1 Peter 4, for me it's just a page in my Bible, 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2 and 19. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his life for evil human desires, but rather, here we have it, for the will of God. And then jumping to the last verse in 1 Peter 4:19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will. Ooh. Carl, Westview worshiper. It might be God's will that we face some difficulty, or that we struggle, or that we suffer. Verse 19 again of 1 Peter 4. So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. It isn't always easy when the world values a nice, thick financial portfolio. When the world around us is pursuing popularity and prestige and power and position. But in Jesus, we have different values. It's not always easy to say, friend, I'm not going to listen to this gossip. And I'm sure not going to pass it on to anybody. I'm not going to be a part of your belittling people. I'm not going to be a part of racial jokes or sexual jokes or foul language or swearing. It's not always popular to take a stand against pornography and drugs, sex, or racism, or favoritism, or greed and selfishness. Our stand for Jesus may mean that we are mocked. People roll their eyes at us, and they smile, and they mock us. But God's will is that we're assured of salvation. We grow and mature in Christ. It is God's universal will that we all believers develop a thankful, grateful, servant-hearted attitude. We influence our society for Jesus. And it may be His will that we suffer as we take a stand for Christ. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll look at discerning God's specific will for us, for our group, for our church, which can be very different as we proceed into each day. And therefore, let's prepare for communion with prayer. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to commune and further be united, Jesus, with you as we commune together. We gather around the Lord's Supper, the communion table, and we remember. We remember that, Jesus, you were sent of the Father into the world, and you, Jesus, nearly 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, assumed our flesh and blood. But it was also God's plan that you would experience the bitter and shameful death of the cross as the sacrificial lamb, our sacrificial lamb. Jesus, by your death and resurrection and ascension, thank you that you established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation that we might be accepted by God and know, God, you have forgiven our guilt and shame and sin. Thank you. And Jesus, we gather around the table to further commune with you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you have promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. But we also come in anticipation and hope. Since you, Jesus, by your death, resurrection, and ascension, you, Jesus, have obtained for us forgiveness before God and the promise of eternal life in heaven. We thank you. We praise you. Now, Jesus, unite us all into one body so that we would receive this supper in true love and we would know, Holy Spirit, your empowering, ever-present work in our minds and our hearts and our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.